And in the studio, I've got a deputy chair of the Raglan Community Board. Welcome to the studio, Chris.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Dennis is a busy man at the moment, the chair. So you chaired the meeting for the first time. How was that?
Yeah, it went really smoothly, and I think we were able to have quite an open discussion.
Yeah, there certainly was. I was sitting there, and of course you've always got council staff there who seem to know all the incredible high level of detail that anything to do with the council seems to involve. So
yeah, the fact that Alison comes to many, if not most of our meetings is quite a bonus, because she's the chief financial officer, so
yes,
you can get some answers at a high level.
Yeah, and the it is about the money when it comes down to it, isn't it?
Yeah, and it will be going forward.
Yeah, if you want to achieve anything. Let's talk about the issue that's been probably uppermost in most people's minds over the last week or so, which was the wastewater spill. Now, we have had the explanation on the show that there were some computer glitches that caused the problem, but just for you personally, as someone on the community board and you've been well aware of this issue, like, how did you feel when you heard the news?
Oh, it was absolutely gutting, and the fact that it was basically us via the Raglan notice board informing the council that they had known until we were like, hey guys, hold on, look at this is this looks pretty serious, and then yeah, it was the Raglan Community Board via the Raglan Facebook notice board that actually alerted this to Water Care and Council. So, and that really kind of annoyed us, that there was no other processes or alarms that, you know, should have been.
Yeah, I was surprised to discover that the alarm is within the same system that had the problem. So, because for folks who don't know, the computer decided it's got high tide and low tide swapped around or something like that, and so the alarm was like, oh no, it's all fine. But like, to give an example, like I have a silence detector here for the radio, so if you know, so I've got to know when there's silence on the air, but it's not here in the studio, it's actually at my house, so it's on a completely different electrical system. So if the power goes down here, you know, the silence detector is still working. I would have thought that's what they would have for the sewage outflow as well. Well, we shouldn't call it sewage, it's treated wastewater.
Yeah, treated wastewater. But yeah, no, you're right. And I guess when we get a chance to chat to Water Care next, there'll definitely be some please explain conversations happening.
Yeah. Do you feel confident it'll happen again or not happen again?
We've been assured that the problem has been resolved and the technicalities, the glitches or whatever in the computer have been fixed. So we have to watch this space and keep an eye on it going forward.
Okay. And while we're still on the wastewater, are you keeping up with the land-based sewage treatment plans, land-based wastewater treatment plans?
Yeah. The land-based disposal, I would call it investigations, maybe not plans yet, because there's been no, formal proposal tabled.
Yeah.
Until all the investigations are done, obviously, with the landowner, and then what the land can handle and the costs and right. It's it's a long ongoing process, but we do have confidence that Water Care and Council are doing due diligence on this process, and they are actually crossing their T's and dotting their I's, and actually we really do hope that we're going to have a credible proposal coming forward in the next stage of that consenting process.
I have heard that the proposed site, a few of the neighbours aren't that keen on it.
There has been some discussions, but I think there needs to be further discussions, science-based, I guess, to better understand what is proposed, because the level of treatment that we're getting upgraded to, the wastewater itself, the treatment, not the disposal, is going to be improved to MBR status, a microbioreactor, and that's going to bring that wastewater up to a level just shy of potable. So the actual water that we're going to
almost drinkable.
Well, they call it almost drinkable, but and so the actual product that's going to propose to be discharged onto the land is far cleaner than anything a farmer's doing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So,
if you compare it to like animal excrement or other products put onto the land regularly by
conventional agriculture.
That just needs to be worked through, and I think the neighbours will find that they're actually going to get a better neighbour than a worse one.
Right. That, yeah, that's an interesting perspective, actually, depending on what exactly was going on at the farm previously, which is not to imply that it was particularly bad.
No, but regular animal excrement and regular products used on animals is going straight into the grass and the waterways.
Yeah.
Without any treatment.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's just go through a few quick things. The Wee Nera walkway coming down between the jetty and the footbridge. So is that going to happen soon, do you think? Like, it seems to... Is there a design? Have you guys seen a design yet? I guess that's the question.
No, we have not seen a design, but we understand that it's in full swing.
Yeah.
I mean, your version of soon and the council's version of soon are very different.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So soon, like in this trimester, definitely. Soon, before Christmas, definitely not.
Yeah, okay. No, I wouldn't expect before Christmas. No. You don't start a project in October wanting it done by Christmas. That's...
No.
Gives you a lot of headaches. All right. Are you happy with that? Like, it's going to be wider with a handrail?
Yeah, I mean, it's the way things are going these days, you know?
Yeah. I know 20 years ago, I remember there was someone's kid fell off the side and there was a bit of a petition going around to put a handrail there, and a lot of us were like, oh, no, just control your kid better. There was kind of that attitude.
Yeah.
But that's like 20 years ago now, so.
Yeah, I think the problem is for any... authority, council, whatever you call it, you can't build or replace something with a clear known danger.
Yeah,
you can be held liable, you know.
Everything's
got a bit more cotton wool these days than it used to.
We keep asking about the CCTV plans. We know things are happening behind the scenes, but out of your guys' control, though, is it?
Yeah, that's basically a discussion that's going on. Council, the Better Off Funding, together with Hamilton, there's some cooperation because they've got some pretty advanced stuff. But, yeah, it's obviously the police are involved in that too.
So Hamilton's advanced stuff is like they've got not a call centre, that's the wrong phrase. They've got some central monitoring system, and it would be, we haven't got that, have we?
No, not at the moment.
So we want, is the plan to like use theirs?
I think it's just a knowledge and technology sharing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know exactly the details of how that will go about.
Yeah. Well, the Freedom Camping discussion was happening at council just this week. Have we heard much about that?
Yeah, I think the areas have been changed from proposals you might have seen earlier. So I think the area of Stewart Street is now not going to be for Freedom Camping.
Neighbours didn't like the idea.
No, would appear so.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't going to be full-on freedom camping. It was going to be restricted overnight, but sometimes even that's not enough, I guess, to keep people happy. So.
Yeah, and I mean, there is all the changes with the requirements for built-in toilets, rather than just a, what do you call it?
A porta-potty.
A porta-potty, you get this blue sticker and you're done. That those changes kind of come from central government, and they're going to slowly start to filter down.
Was that law now?
Yeah, I believe so. All new vans. I think the vans that have been approved in the last year or two have got like a grace period to upgrade themselves.
Yeah.
Or have their Freedom Camping sticker expire. But I know that all new vans have to comply with the new law of a built-in toilet.
Yeah, okay.
With a tank, you know, not just a cassette.
Yeah, well, no one uses those anyway. Who wants to use those? it's kind of an unsavory situation.
Yeah, but this summer will be, I guess, a good test of where that whole thing's at, you know, because we're obviously expecting a hot, sunny, long summer and many more overseas tourists. So,
yeah, it feels like things are more back to normal this year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
The sunset looked pretty good last night.
Did it?
Yeah, I was like, oh, haven't seen anyone a good raglan sunset like that for a while.
There's probably some photos on Facebook already. Yeah. There's continuing discussions about monitoring what's happening with Sound Splash. How's that?
Yeah, they've actually...
What were the staff saying yesterday?
So they brought the dates forward for requiring all the management plans, which was a good move, and Sound Splash duly... got all their management plans in and up to date, and it's looking really good. And it's given the by bringing those dates forward, it's just taken the pressure off everyone to, if they can identify something that could be improved, to be able to identify that earlier before everybody breaks for you know, the Christmas New Year period, and then go straight into the festival. So
yeah.
That was actually a really good job by the Parks and Reserves team, and also obviously the Sound Splash team, to just bring all those management plan dates forward. So that they can be worked through and approved long before we all kind of get into the silly season.
Yeah. Now, they talked about the discretionary fund, which is a little bit of money that the community board has to give out to community groups or events or whatever is happening in town. And there were Ross, who's running that on behalf of the rest of the community board, said that there were people who'd applied recently but not in time to get it into the agenda for
this
meeting.
Yeah, they just missed their dates.
So I was wondering if we could tell people what that length of time is for the agenda, because as you say, it's kind of soon for council is a different term than soon for us. Or, you know,
yes.
Timescales are different.
So it's normally around 10 working days before a meeting.
So a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so next meeting's in 6 weeks. So ideally, if there is a community group, non-profit out there that does need some small funding to get themselves off the ground for their community projects or events, definitely get it in. Get it in. Talk to Ross. I would say, you know, don't wait. Actually, approach Ross now, and he'll be able to give you all the exact dates and cutoffs and the paperwork, because it is a little bit of form filling out. So you want to give yourself a couple of weeks to get all the right data together.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that was probably in 4 weeks from now. Probably would be the cutoff.
Yeah,
I'm guessing.
Exactly. But we are putting it out to the community that we are looking for applications. You know, especially from young, innovative, creative, you know, projects out there.
And I know you guys, I think you were looking, there was quite a bit of money in it at the moment. But I have a feeling that was kind of left over from the COVID period, because people weren't applying because you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, it goes up and down
for a couple of years.
There's always a rollover from previous financial years, and then all of a sudden we get a few big applications. So it goes. I've been on the board now 5 years, and it goes up and down a bit, which is normal. But yeah, this is probably at the moment is at the time where we've probably got more than we're like in the kitty. So we're actually keen to hear from people.
Yeah, because you don't want the council itself to see that you're not spending that money. They might take it away.
There's always that. I mean, that was that,
you don't use it, you lose it.
Not quite yet, but
we're a long way from that.
It is our responsibility to distribute the discretionary fund in an appropriate way to support the not-for-profit charitable things happening in the town.
Mm. Let me see, what else have we got? Oh, so that now there was talk about having a meeting in Tamata, but when's that? Because there was a meeting in Tiuku, held this year. When's the one for Tamata?
We deferred that. We were hoping to do that this year, but because we've only got one more meeting left, and we obviously would like to hear from some applicants for the discretionary fund, so we've deferred the Tamata meeting until the new year. So we'll, at the next meeting, when Dennis is back, we'll decide the exact date, whether it's the first or second meeting, but it will be early on in the new year. We'll be having a meeting out in Tamata, just as this in this trimester we actually expanded our area to include Tamata and Tiuku. We had a meeting in Tiuku earlier in the year, so yeah, we just want to go and be present in those communities and hear from them now that they are kind of included in the Raglan Community Board area.
Now, there was quite a bit of discussion about the land at Papahua, the airfield land, and that is in the process of being returned to the rightful owners. In amongst all that discussion, did we get... It's still not that far on, is it?
Those discussions are between the iwi and the council. There's treaty partners. We're not really part of that discussion.
Yeah.
But I think the discussion you're talking about is also the other areas, not necessarily the airfield, but the other parts of Papahua.
Yeah.
And there was a report basically identifying how the co-governance of that area and management can be, a new structure over it, where mana whenua are like a much more involve leading that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, ultimately, is their land, like, they wouldn't even have to, I'm guessing, they get the land back, they don't have to work with council on it at all. They could just say
Don't confuse, there's multiple areas. Yeah. So, yeah, don't. Yeah, it's
was this
yeah,
like the soccer fields that
you're talking about?
The soccer fields, the campground, the airfield.
No. So the airfield's completely separate and it has three different owners.
Yeah, one right. This is what I'm saying. But that whole area is part of the discussion.
No. Don't, okay. No, you've really got to know your areas and not get mixed up there because there's obviously the campground.
Yeah,
and then there's the area of the domain and the. Urupa and the pump track and all that, and that's totally separate from the airfield.
Yeah, they're separate titles. Yeah.
Completely separate and completely different discussions and completely separate management and governance.
So we should wait and see.
Yeah,
where we are sitting here in the studio right now. Wait and see what is delivered.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There was also quite a bit of discussion about the long-term plan. For those who haven't heard, don't completely understand, the long-term plan is the council spending plan, which is in the process of being drafted up and then going to be put in place next year. Looking ahead 10 years, they do this every 3 years. It's slightly confusing. And from the discussion yesterday, it sounds like a really complex beast. How do you think we can make sure we get stuff for Raglan in there?
We're just learning really how to observe and then be part of that process. So Alison's actually very kindly offered to kind of bring us into the loop a little bit more.
As the Chief Financial Officer.
Chief Financial Officer, yeah. So she's going to help us kind of unpack some of that because obviously the level of detail is huge. And we had a long and quite productive discussion with the councillors, Thompson and Tilly. And it was really good. It was probably we've not really had a kind of open public discussion like that for quite some time. Just understanding what goes in and what goes out and how the council has to have a district-wide approach or the councillors when they sit down to thrash out the long-term plan.
So they're not supposed to be parochial about their area?
No, I mean, part of when they're sworn in to do their job as a councillor, they are sworn in as a councillor for the whole district.
The whole district. So it's kind of your guys' job on the community board to be parochial.
Yeah, exactly. So and Alison's helping us to understand best how we can be part of that. And then one of the coming out of those long-term plan discussions, because Dennis attends a lot of the meetings over in Ngāruawahia, we've just identified that we want to very early on put a little marker in the sand saying that we don't want to see rates increases above inflation. So we don't want to see double-digit rates increases. And so we've kind of passed a motion. That was the last thing we did at the meeting on yesterday, was pass a motion to just reiterate our expectation that council doesn't kind of develop a big long-term plan and then come hit us with a double-digit rates increase.
Is that the kind of feedback you guys are getting as board members when you're talking to people around town?
Yeah, I mean the last round of rates increases was hard to swallow. If any of you out there are lucky enough to be homeowners, you'll know it was substantial.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it, when there's inflation, and council seem to be having trouble holding on to staff because the private sector can pay more and. Like it feels like there's a squeeze on from all sides.
Yeah, there's compounding factors for sure, and obviously the fact that property prices shot up in that period also increases your rates bill. So you look at your rates bill like you're expecting. Oh, I was expecting a 7% rates increase, but if your property increased 10-20%, then the overall rates increase is a lot larger.
Yeah, well, I guess, and also, it's so complicated. It depends on what else is happening in the district. Like if all the houses increase by 20% exactly, then the rates don't change, and because of that, because everybody's gone up together. Like if your house doubles in price, your rates don't double in price, right?
No, but there's a portion of it that is tied to the value.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So and
but then you've got targeted rates.
That's what I was going to bring that up as well. So when Chris is talking about the rates that they don't want to go up more than inflation, that's called the general rates area. But then what else is there? Well, the general rates.
There's a number of targeted rates, and then there's flat fees for service delivery, things like waste and recycling, and
And we might want to spend potentially a lot of money on wastewater.
Yeah, well, once we have a plan that the council submits with some costings, then we're going to have some big discussions about how to pay for it.
They did. Now, there was money budgeted, maybe the last LTP, last long-term plan. I remember a specific figure being discussed, or whatever that
was. Like 23 million capex, yeah.
Yeah, but whatever that is the cost of building it is now higher.
Correct.
Than it was 3 years ago, probably quite substantially based on what we know is going on out there. So, yeah, it's a headache.
Oh, yeah.
And in some ways, you guys are kind of free. You're not actually having to be the ones who make the final decisions. You can just say, hey, this is what we need in Raglan.
Yeah, we're at a pure governance level. We're not actually able to, do sign-off on anything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk about was Dennis has been trying to get council to make a structure plan for the town. Before him, Bob McLeod was trying to get council to make a structure plan for the town, so that's going back at least 7 years. What is a structure plan? Why do we think it's good?
Yeah, it's a discussion that's been, like you say, been going on for a long time. And again, Alison has committed to just giving us a whole lot of information about what we think we are requesting and what we're actually requesting in terms of structure plans or other plans that see guidance for the development of Raglan.
So, in your mind, what's the purpose? What do we actually want?
It's as a community, understanding as a community grows, what goes where. And what services are needed where, what roads are needed where, what bits under the roads and footpaths are needed where, so you can understand what's coming, rather than just letting things be developer-driven, which is, one of the... sometimes the council's favourite option because it means less cost and less outlay for them.
Well, if we look at what happened with Rangatahi, Rangatahi employed their own planners to write up their own section of the district plan and just handed it wholesale to the council, and then there was a little bit of discussion about the details, but all the work was taken away from council for that. So you're right, it is easier. And I'm not particularly criticising Rangatahi for this. They did what made most sense to them, and they got their job done. But as a community, I know that everyone I talk to, we want to feel like we have more say over what's actually happening in our town, how it's developing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels like we're a bit rudderless in that regard at the moment. And I think the discussion about the land-based wastewater treatment, if they use a site up Mangatawhiri Road, once they looked at that, they realised they didn't know how they were going to get the pipe up there because it has to go under a road most likely, and they didn't know where the roads were going to go in the future around that part of town. Well, it's not town, is it? It's rural.
But yeah.
So I thought that was a good example. Like, there was no plans that covered that, so the staff had to go and do some separate research reports to try and best guess what will happen in the future.
Yeah, no, we've been, the community board under Bob and now Dennis has been, jumping up and down, requesting work on a structure plan for some time. And that's, at the end of the day, all we can do is identify what we think needs happening and push for it.
Does it help? Like, we're going to have a submission process once the long-term plan is drafted. There's a submission process that anyone can put in. Is it going to be helpful for just casual residents, or not casual, interested residents, to submit on that subject itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Once the draft plan comes out, then everyone in the district will have the opportunity to submit.
Do you have a feeling for yourself because the council has this 2070 projection that there's going to be 12,000 people living residentially in our community. I mean, you and I will be long gone by then, most likely, but although it's not that far away, is it? Maybe you'll still be around. But do you have do you in your own mind have an idea of how that should, how the town should develop, or do you have a feeling for what the community wants? Like,
they put out that was it Growth Waikato 2050 or 2070,
and it just had kind of amorphous blobs.
And, yes, and I don't even know how they came to put those blobs where they were. And that's you've kind of hit the nail on the head. That's where a proper 50-year structure plan is something that's required. And then we can develop innovative technological companies or light industrial manufacture or places that we can actually create jobs and add value to Raglan and not just, subdivision after subdivision and more residential. At the end of the day, we actually need to create some industry if we are going to support a larger population base. Like, it's not sustainable that everyone works remotely or goes over the hill, or we actually got to have some job creation in that as well.
Yeah. And what about, have you heard of this concept of 20-minute cities? Which is, we're not really, I mean, the whole town is a 20-minute town. The idea is you can walk everywhere you need to, everything you need to find is within 20 minutes walk. But eventually, if we get that big, do we start developing another little town centre or a sub-centre somewhere else,
I think that would be a bad move. We want to, keep the centre of Raglan vibrant and pumping. And
yeah.
I don't think a sub centre or a, what would they call it in America, parking shop or
not that sort of thing. No.
Well, that's what developers are building. So
yeah, no, I've seen that. I remember when I was like in my 20s, I went to Calgary in Canada, which is
basically strip mall.
Yeah, it was just like everything was. You slept in this part of town, and like half an hour's driveway was the shops, and another half hour in the other direction was where you worked, and then there were just these monstrous car parks everywhere.
Yeah, that's what we want to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I totally agree with that. That's not quite the vision we're looking for. Okay, so was there anything else that came up that we need to talk about? We said it was a fairly brief, agenda.
There were some good wins in the civil defence space together with Raglan Naturally. They managed to put together some packs, some civil defence packs. So that was a good win and good work by the people involved with that.
So this is packs for people to use in an emergency that will be placed in certain places.
Exactly.
Do we know? We don't even know where yet, do we?
I think it's all, the team who are part of the civil defence planning are part of that, and then I think they're going to have a meeting on the 17th of November.
This is like the stakeholder civil defence
meeting. Just getting together the people that, are committed to rolling their sleeves up in that space when and if something does happen.
Yeah, and there are people out there who definitely have a focus on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that the radio needs to be there. We are able to broadcast during an emergency. We set ourselves up for that, so
yeah,
we'll be there. Yeah. Oh, and the pool at Rangitahi, there was a discussion about that, wasn't there?
There was just basically they asked us if we would write a letter to support it. It's a commercial project, so it's a privately run public pool that they're proposing. Basically, so long as it doesn't cost the ratepayers anything, we are in support of the parties that are developing that. It's a long way off. It's just a
Guess they need a letter of support for funding.
They've got to go out and find some money, obviously.
And
any funder will want to know that it's something that the community backs, which we do.